We're doing the Shot Aran, we're up to page Taf Mem Tet, and we had learned, the Ran had quoted, that the Rambam believed that everything is run by nature, and that the stars cannot affect good or bad, and even if you see that people think that they can look at the stars and tell you what's going to happen, it's not really the stars that are causing it, it's people's imagination that attributes these things to the stars. V'yesh b'dvarav safek, but there's a question on the Rambam. Shemin anireh she'eino ken da'at rabotenu. It says, with all due respect to the Rambam, you learn Chazal, you learn Gemara, you learn Medrash, doesn't sound like they viewed the world like the Rambam does. Sharei yizkiru b'sof perek mi she'echshich, the Talmud at the end of Masechet Shabbat, at the end of the chapter called Mi She'echshich, the Gemara gives us many things. It tells us Ma'asim Rabim, many different stories. Sha'olemim Sha'mazal Po'el Ba'adam, that the Gemara certainly sounds like it's saying the zodiac and what we call Mazal affects man. Im lo she'ishanu sibot ha-mitzvot, the Gemara seems to say that unless you have a mitzvah that counteracts what happens, what the zodiac causes to happen, so then the mazel causes things. Do you want us to see the Gemara inside, the examples he's quoting? Yes? Okay.
But the Gemara speaks also about demons and this and that.
That's another good question.
I mean, Talmud Bavli, at least, Yerushalmi, you don't see that.
I don't see Gemara Shamis here. Okay. So the Gemara gives a story. Rabbi Yochanan was watching. He was standing next to a sorcerer. The sorcerer saw a group of men going out to chop wood. And the sorcerer, stargazer, said to Rabbi Yochanan, he said, that man's going to die. So they go out, they come back, the man's alive. So Rabbi Yochanan asks them, what happened? So he says, I saw there was going to be a poisonous snake in his pile of wood. So they went over, they called the guy, and they asked the guy, what's going on? What'd you do different today? So the guy said, we usually come together to the woods, and each one of us brings our own lunch, and we all divide. Everyone puts part of their lunch in a bowl, and we all take part of it. When we came to eat lunch today, I saw the guy next to me didn't have any food. So I put my food in as though it was his. So he was able to take from everyone's lunch as though he had given lunch. It looked like he had given a portion. So Rav Yochanan said, you see, he did chesed, that's why he's alive. They asked him to spread out his pile of wood. He spread out his pile of wood, and in the pile of wood they saw a very poisonous snake. Why didn't the snake bite him? Because he had done that act of kindness that day. So that's one of the examples. The Gemara gives many stories. We know the story of Rabbi Kiva's daughter, that the stargazers told him that she would die the day she got married. The day she got married, she went into a room to lay down. She was tired. She took the needle out of her hair, her hairpin. She put it in the wall. And then when she woke up, she pulled it out of the wall. And she had stabbed a very poisonous snake in its head as she had placed it in the crevice in the wall. And Rabbi Akiva asked her, my daughter, what happened today? What did you do different? So that day, a poor man came to the wedding. Everyone was busy rejoicing at the wedding. She noticed there was a poor man who was hungry. She took her own portion. She brought him to eat. So Rabbi Kiva said, you see, tzedakah tatzil mimavet, your charity saved you from death. Now, Kaldeim, the stargazers, had told Rabbi Akiva when his daughter was born that she would die on her wedding day. So here you have two examples where the story seems to say that the stargazers were right. It was just that one's mitzvah saved their life. If it was the woodcutter who saved his friend from shame and donated his own food, if it was Rabbi Akiva's daughter who gave her food to the poor person, the Gemara certainly sounds like the stargazers got it right. Rambam says the stargazers are wrong. It's their imagination when they see things. So the Ran is questioning, excuse me, but the Gemara's stories sound like the stargazers get it right, only the Gemara is saying that our mitzvos can change it. So if the stargazers are right, then why does the Torah tell us not to ask them questions? And just as the Torah says, you don't have to ask the dead what's going to be in the future, because I gave you a prophet. So then the Second Temple era comes, we're in the period of the Second Beit HaMikdash, we no longer have prophets, but the nations have stargazers. And the Gemara seems to say that their stargazers get it right. Oh, our mitzvos can undo what they see. But why didn't the Torah give us a solution when we won't have prophets? V'zo ha-tshuva. So here's the answer, says the Ran. Sha-Torah asa otam einyanim kulam. The Torah prohibited all these activities. Asking the dead, using the skull, using the bones, looking at the stars. Many different ways to try and figure out what the future holds. The Torah prohibits them. Even though it could be that by asking the dead, there will be a benefit. Should I go to war or not? Well, the dead told King Saul that he'd lose a war, he'd die. So maybe there's a benefit to asking the deceased. Torah prohibits it. Why? Because if people tap into the stars, and they look at the stars and they figure out what the future holds, Pharaoh's advisors tell him, today the great Savior of Israel was born. And they're right. That day Moshe was born. But what's going to happen if we're allowed to look at the stars and figure out the future? People will start to say, well, the stars are powerful. They not only can forecast the future, they themselves cause the future. People will start attributing powers to the stars. The fact that you could look at the stars and figure out what the future hold, that, says the Ran, that's true. However, the Torah recognized that if we look at the stars and understand from them what the future holds, the next step will be that people will start attributing the strength, the one who, what's causing the future? The stars. So then it's very likely people will then start worshipping the stars. So even though, says the Ran, that the stars can give out, they can reveal what the future holds, the Torah prohibited looking at the stars to figure out the future, because the Torah said that's a step away from people worshipping those stars. People might come to say, as people did, that the stars control and the stars have will. The stars decide. People would attribute to the stars the ability to decide whether things would be good or bad. So people would say, let me placate the stars. Let me serve the stars. If I can only appease the stars, then they'll do what I want. So it's only a footstep away from worshipping them. And that is a complete error. Even though, says the Ran, the Talmud clearly depicts that the stars can reveal what's going to happen if something is beneficial or harmful, but it's not the stars' choice. The stars can reveal, but it's not their will. There's a certain nature to the way the stars function, and we can't change that. It's a system. Just as when you have a fire, you can't say, okay, the fire shouldn't burn this cotton. Cotton burns, fire burns it. And you can't change that. If you have a star called Ma'adim, what we might call Mars, so it affects the heat. The great error, says the Ran, is that people think they can make the stars like them. And this was rampant in the era of the first Beit HaMikdash, the first temple. People believe that they can talk to the stars, they can access the stars, they can affect the stars. Our general term for idol worship is Oved kochavim umazalot. Those that worship the stars and the zodiac. So that means people worship them. People didn't just look at them and say, oh, I know what's going to happen based on the stars. People believe they could affect it. And in order to protect us from that error, which is undoubtedly a form of idol worship, that's why the Torah says, I don't want you looking at the stars to understand the future. Avraham Avinu looked at the stars. It says he was a master astrologist. It says Avraham Avinu looked at the stars and said, based on the stars, I can't have kids. The Rabban Shalom said, you're right, but I'm above the stars and you will have kids. The Rabban Shalom said, stop looking at the stars. Gam b'chirat ha'itim. Same thing goes with people saying, this is a good time. People think they know it's a good time for A, it's a good time for B. Even though you might benefit from it, if you know based on the stars or based on the timing, this is a time to start the business. It says that when Sanherib came to attack Jerusalem, so his advisors told him based on the timing, they said where the stars are holding, where the sun is holding, where the moon is holding, if you attack Jerusalem today, you'll destroy it. And if you wait till tomorrow, you won't. And Sanherib reached the hilltop and looked down at Jerusalem, waved his hand and says, that's nothing. I've destroyed much bigger cities. What's the rush? You guys are off. And he spent the night on that hilltop and came the next day. And we know the rest is history. When he came, it was already Pesach and the great miracle happened and his armies died by a miraculous plague at the gates of Jerusalem and we were saved. But it's interesting that Chazal say his stargazers told him, if you do it today, you'll succeed. If you don't do it today, you'll lose. Wait a second, how'd they know? It's a miracle, right? The pasuk says an angel came out and killed his forces. But then the Midrash says that his stargazers didn't know. It says, Yinofef yado har batzion. He waved his hand at the Mount of Zion and he said, what's the big deal? I can do that anytime. And he was wrong. But for whatever reason, Chazal revealed to us that his stargazers got it right. They told him, if you don't do it today, you won't succeed. He didn't do it that day, and he didn't succeed. So again, the Navi tells us an angel killed his men. But the Midrash tells us that his stargazers foretold him that if he doesn't do it today, he won't succeed. So says the Ran, you can't say they're all off. But you can say that the Torah didn't want you to tap into that benefit. And here we go back to the story of Sanballat. We go back to the story of that a stargazer who told Rav Yochanan, that man's going to die. And then he was wrong, because the mitzvah the man did saved his life. Rabbi Akiva's daughter, the stargazer said she's going to die the day of her wedding, and they were wrong. Why were they wrong? Because the mitzvah precluded that snake killing her. So that, the Torah tells you, I've given you the antidote. Yes, the stargazers were right. There would be a poisonous snake that would head toward Rabbi Akiva's daughter on the night of her wedding. And he could have bitten her. But you know what? By performing the mitzvahs of the Torah, she overcame that. So the Torah gave you the solution. You don't have to go looking for the problem. A person shouldn't think that the stars will define his future, because when the Torah tells you, I have blessings and curses, and it's contingent on how you behave, and this is a repeated theme in the Torah is telling us you can overcome the forces of the stars. The Torah is telling us, do not think that you are bound by the forces of nature. You can overcome them. Okay, we'll pick up here. Bezat Hashem next week.